103rd Psalm. If you'll listen, I'll read it out loud. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to spend some time just blessing you. You've blessed us. May we return that this morning. May we, Lord, just take our minds and our hearts upward. The Bible says to seek those things which are above. And Lord, we want to set our heart and our mind in heavenly places this morning. And Lord, we want to take some time and thank you. Just thank you publicly and proclaim again the goodness and grace of a loving God who is rich in mercy, long in patience. And Lord, thank you for all that you have benefited us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on this subject, all his benefits. Did you pick up on that? Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. I had a conversation about a year ago with a young man who was considering a job change, and he was talking to me about some possibilities that he was looking at, some offers that he'd received. One of the things that he brought up that I thought was good, he said to me, he said, Brother Jerry, you know, a lot of times what we look at, if we're not careful, is just the hourly wage of a particular job. But he said one of the things you have to really look at in the job market today is what are the benefits that come with the job. He said you might get a little bit less an hour at this place, so it may not seem as good of a job, but depending on how many benefits come with that hourly wage, it might be a better job than the one that seems to pay a little bit more. Let me say this, folks. You know what? Sometimes the world, it seems like the wages, at least the temporal wages, are higher than what you might receive in the Christian life. But man, do we have a benefits package. And I think you better factor in the benefits before you decide which job to take. I think you better factor in the benefits before you decide which path to walk, because with the Christian life comes the benefits that God offers, the benefits of Almighty God. Let's just look at some of the benefits this morning that God brings us when we become a child of God. And by the way, I don't want to talk in general terms. Let me be very specific about that. There's way too much of this mentality that, well, we're all God's children. We knock on the door and we talk to people and, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. And yet I think that they certainly a lot of times do not have a Bible definition of what it means to be born again. A Christian is not something you were born into. A Christian is not something that you became automatically because you had Christian parents. One old evangelist used to say, you can't get into heaven by hanging on to your mom and dad's coattails. Christianity is something that you receive when you're born again. That new birth has to happen sometime on the timeline between you, between when you're born and when you die. Sometime once you've reached the age of accountability and you hear the gospel and you come under conviction of sin, conviction that you're lost, when you have explained to you that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, did live a perfect life, did die on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If there is a time in your life when you truly, with all of your heart, believe that, knowing that you're a sinner, and knowing that Christ is the only way of salvation, and there's been that point in time in your life when you can look back and say, there I was on that day and time when God brought me under great conviction of sin, and I understood the gospel, and I called out and asked Christ to be my Savior. Listen, that is what it means to be saved. Do you have that on the timeline of your life? As you look back from where you're at right now and you look in the rearview mirror of your life, can you find, I didn't say, can you find a place and time where you joined a church? I didn't say, did you find a place and time where you were baptized? I didn't say, did you find a place and time where maybe you were in the hospital and you were sick and a preacher came and prayed for you and God healed you and so you think that you're saved? I'm talking about, have you ever been born again? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Now, if you have, boy, there's some great benefits. And this psalm is all about the benefits that come with salvation, the benefits of being a child of God. Benefit number one, the benefit of forgiveness. Well, I don't think we let this impact us enough. Verse number 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Did you ever just take a statement like that and just decide you're going to take every word and squeeze it? Who is the who in this statement? The who in this statement is Almighty God. A holy God, a righteous God. He is the one who's doing the forgiving in this statement. And then notice the word all. I like that. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now the all in this statement, if you do a little bit of a word study on it, in the Hebrew, what it means is, in capital letters, A-L-L, all. You know, that's exactly what it means. It means God isn't going to miss one. When you get saved, God forgives you of your iniquities. It's very important to look right up here and get this. Do you understand when you got saved, God not only forgave you of your past sins and your present sins, but He forgave you already of all of your future sins? Do you realize all of them are under the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, wait a minute. Some of you'd say amen if you take a look in the rearview mirror. If you take a few minutes and think about some of the things you've said, some of the things you've done in your life, that you'd be embarrassed, mortified, if they were to be made known to people in this room. But you know what? You don't have to worry about that because they're under the blood. They're under the blood. God forgave me. God forgave me. Boy, it's important that we as Christians from time to time remember this. Look on over, if you will, in verse number 10. He talks more about this matter of forgiveness. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Thank God for that. You know what that means? That means He doesn't give us what we deserve when it comes to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God for that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Folks, let's just take a minute. Let's just say a big old thank you to God for His mercy. You know what God's mercy is? God's mercy means is this. It means we don't get what we deserve. It means He is going to give us mercy instead of our just deserts. Do you like verse number 12? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. The song, the chorus we used to sing as children, gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I'll sing eternally, praise God, my sins are gone. Say, preacher, what about all those sins in my past that God said He forgave? Where are they? They're gone. But where? Gone. But I kind of like the gone. They're gone. Amen to that. Think about that. You know, I read this story this week, and boy, it's just good to read. I mean this. I know your preacher's got a little hobby horse here, but if I could get some of you to read again, if I could get some of you just to get some old-timey, what I call old-timey books, written by early Christians, written by some of the forerunners. And by the way, read Baptist writings. That's all right. Aren't you a Baptist? I just go ahead and read some Baptist writings. That'd be good for you. I read this week, some of the first missionaries that made it to the Eskimos, as they had to live amongst them and do what Michelle Bass is doing, learning their language and then developing a written language for them. They found out by talking to the Eskimos and learning their language, and in an attempt to get the gospel to them, they found out that in their language there was no word for forgiveness. And by the way, that's not that unusual when it comes to tribal Indian cultures. You know why? They don't believe in forgiveness. They don't even understand the concept of forgiveness. So imagine that you're a missionary and you're going to reach this people with the gospel, only they have no concept. They have no word for forgiveness. So the missionaries got together and they worked on the vocabulary and constructed the vocabulary and began to try to come up with a word for forgiveness. And I went ahead and wrote it out because I wanted you to see it or you wouldn't believe it. This is the word that they came up with for forgiveness. Anybody here? One of you girls read that out loud for me, would you? Go ahead. Any volunteers? Any volunteers? I actually sat in my office and tried to do it. And then I tried to do it a little faster and I sprung my tongue. I'm serious. I mean, honestly, it was horrible. But that is their word for forgiveness. Now, this is not a word as much as it is a series of words that are strung together from the Eskimo language. Let me tell you exactly what this word means. It means this: not being able to think about it anymore. That's forgiveness. Not being able to think about it anymore. Aren't you reminded of where the Bible tells us that God remembers our sins no more? Let me help some of you Christians that are struggling. You know what? Boy, the devil's a dirty... He's a dirty rat. He's just a dirty rat. I'd like to go on record to say the devil's a dirty rat. It just seems like he does everything he can to try to discourage a Christian. He'll come alongside us in some of our times of despair, and sometimes maybe in our moments of failure, and he'll come alongside us and he wants to go down the list and remind us of all of our past sins. Now let me say this, folks. If you have been saved and if you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now God chooses to not be able to remember it anymore. So let me assure you of something. Let me just give you a little litmus test here. In your quietness of your heart, in those times of despair and discouragement, if somebody is reminding you of all of your past failures, it's not the Holy Spirit of God. That's not what God does. That's not how He acts. If you're being peppered, if you're being shot at by the accuser of the brethren, if you're being reminded, I'm not talking about, by the way, sins you have not confessed. If there are sins in your life that you have not confessed and you're being reminded of them, that is the Holy Spirit of God. But if you say, preacher, you know what? I can't go back. I can't undo. These things are done, but I've gone to God and I've asked for His forgiveness. Then the Bible says that God puts them under the blood and He chooses to remember them no more. If you go to God with your sins and say, Lord, I feel terrible about these things, and it just seems like I keep being reminded of these things, and so Lord, I want to tell you about these things one more time and I want to ask your forgiveness about these things again, God's going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't bring those things to mind. I didn't bring those things to your memory. Why are you bringing them to me again? They're gone. They're gone. Brother Jerry, I hear this sometimes. Brother Jerry, I know you want me to serve in this capacity, but you don't know what I've done in the past. No, I don't. Neither does God. Amen. Amen. Why don't you let go of it like God's let go? Listen, if God will forgive you, why don't you forgive yourself? Why don't you realize those things are taken care of? I think I heard my dad say this once. He said, if Satan begins to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen. Now that's what the devil does. Listen, when you got saved, you are, from that point on, forgiven. 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 By the way, let me just say a word to all of us. If God doesn't bring the sins up of the past, we as Christians shouldn't be bringing up the sins of the past. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me, wives? Are you hearing me, husbands? I'm talking about those of you, when you get into those moments, those heated times, you want to go back and you want to repeat every shortcoming of your entire... Listen, that does not come from Almighty God. That is not godly. If those things have been talked about and forgiveness has been sought and forgiveness was supposedly granted, then you know what? With forgiveness ought to come forgetfulness. Because that's what God does for us. The benefit of forgiveness. Let's move on down. Let me give you this thought real quickly. The end of verse number 3. How about the benefit of healing? Let me talk about this for a minute. Notice this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy what? Diseases. The Christian will experience the healing of all their diseases. That's different than the lost world. Let me just explain this for a minute. How many of you? By the way, let me ask this question. How many of you have experienced some kind of, in your life at one time or another, have experienced some type of healing? Raise your hand. Now, the honest truth is, everybody's hand ought to be up. Let's just all raise our hands now. See, what you're thinking of is what you've seen on the TV set. But Brother Reiser, I heard Thursday need a little, was it Friday? Friday needed some healing. Come on now. Come on now. You know what? We don't give God the credit he deserves. Well, no, Brother Jerry, God didn't heal me. I went to the doctor. I'd be real careful saying stuff like that. Well, God didn't heal me. I got some medicine. I'd be a little careful saying something like that. I'm not saying God doesn't use those things, but you better remember the healing comes from God. Now, the truth is, there's been healing experienced by you hundreds, probably thousands of times in your life. And yet, when the preacher said, how many of you have ever been healed of something? You just look at me like, why don't you decide to rejoice? Hey, aren't you long overdue? By the way, any of your children ever had pneumonia? Aren't you glad God healed them? You know what? There was a time and place in this country that was almost a sure death sentence. Are you getting this? God was gracious. God was good. God heals the Christian. He heals them of all their diseases. Now, we've all been healed at one time or another. We'd all be dead. I'd be thankful for the hundreds of times God came and healed us. Remember, Mama, those times when you were sitting up late at night beside one of your children? Maybe the children were little back then, and they were burned up with fever, and got up to that scary point, and you said, God, you began to cry out, God, you know what? I've done everything I know to do. God, I need you to touch my baby. Over the course of the next several hours, God broke that fever and God secured that life and took care of that child. So I was thinking about this, just going back in our lives and praising the Lord. I know a lot of times we remember the big things and we ought to be more thankful for the small things, but I remember just the time Ariana was probably just about a year old and she got very sick, very sick. Got to croup, and I mean got a bad case of it, and it happened in a real quick amount of time. By the time Blaine and Amanda woke up in the middle of the night, realized the condition she was in, got her to the hospital. By the time I got there the next morning, I walked in, and I got there about the same time the doctor did, and I leaned over and I listened to that little girl. I mean, you know what? It's nothing's worse than when it's a baby or your children. But I listened to that little girl just struggling to breathe, just struggling to breathe. Doctor came in, and I looked at the doctor, and I said, Doc, we got to get proactive here. We got to do something. And he saw that she was in distress of life. I watched Amanda. They took her. Forgive me, I'm a grandpa, okay? Y'all understand. But they took her into a room, and they said, we've got to put her in an oxygen tent. Of course, she was just a little thing and scared. And Amanda crawled up into that bed in that oxygen tent, and they handed the baby in there to her. And this grandpa preacher put his hand on that baby and prayed, God, please heal this child. Have you been there? You had those times? Aren't you glad that God's a healer? Aren't you glad that God's merciful? You say, preacher, all you're doing is telling stories with happy endings. You stand behind the pulpit and tell me that the Christian will experience healing of all their diseases. Well, the ultimate healing for the Christian of all his diseases is death. this verse is true. Now, a lost person can't say that. But you know what? My Bible says this, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Say, preacher, I got something wrong with me, and God hadn't healed me yet. Just hang on. If you're saved, you'll get healed eventually. One way or another, you'll get healed eventually. Amen. You know, folks, this life's a vapor. It appears but a short time, vanisheth away. Eternity's forever, and a glorified body's never going to break down. Isn't that a good thought? So God's benefit is this. You know what? While you're here on earth, there'll be multiple times that I'll come and heal you, but eventually, eternally, I will give you the great benefit of healing upon your body. I don't know why different people come to mind at different times, but I was thinking this week for some reason. Didn't really have a reason to, except God, I think, brought him to mind, but I just was thinking about Bill Chester. You know, I miss Bill. We've lost some great saints of God in this church. And it's amazing how different times God will bring different individuals to mind that I haven't thought of maybe in some time. And I remember the times that I got to work with Bill, and I got to go soul winning with Bill, and I remember the times that I even was allowed to, during his chemo and his treatments, I sometimes would come over and pick him up and take him up to Union Hospital and wait while he had a treatment and bring him back home to give Sister Mary a little bit of a break. And I remember there, and the prayers, you know, don't we pray? Sure we pray. Brother Jerry, didn't you pray for healing? Yes. Dozens of times I held that man's hand and put my hand on his shoulder and prayed that God would heal him. Hey, Brother Jerry, weren't you there the day he went to heaven? Yes. Standing right by his bedside and watched him take his last breaths. Say, well, God didn't answer your prayer. Boy, if you could see Bill Chester right now. If you could see Dallas Moore right now. Are you getting this? You could see Ruth English right now. Are you getting this? You see Bo Eichelman right now. You could see Forrest Alley right now. Are you getting this? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that heaven's a place of eternal healing. There will be no hospitals. There will be no nursing homes. There will be no need of a doctor or medicine. We all will experience what God has promised, and that only is to them who saved. Listen, if you're saved, you know what's in your future? The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I'd go to prepare a place for you. That place, that reservation is for you. For you. You know what? That's going to be a place where everyone will be healed. If you're here today without Christ as your Savior, you don't get this benefit. Matter of fact, you go to a horrible place after death called hell. Not only is there no healing, not only is there no pain, there is pain. Listen, folks, what you ought to do is just go ahead and take salvation as it's offered to you. Take it today. Preacher, I don't know. I kind of look from a distance that Christian life, and it don't seem like it's... I don't know. It just seems like the world pays more. Well, they don't have very good benefits. The world breaks your heart. The world and the sins of the world takes a toll on your body. And the world steals your peace. Boy, there's such great benefits just being saved. The benefit of forgiveness, the benefit of healing. How about this? The benefit of redemption. 103 verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. What is redemption? The word redemption means to buy back for someone what they have lost. When I was doing a little study on that this week, I read a story of a man who was alive in medieval times. And because of his sinful life and his unwise choices, he lost all of his property, lost all of his possessions. The debtors came. They demanded payment. He had no payment. So they took his children and put him into servitude. They took his wife and put her into servitude. They took him and made a slave out of him. And there he was, having lost everything, his home, his lands, his freedom, his children, his family. But he had a near kinsman. Are you getting this? He had a near kinsman that came one day. And he redeemed that man. Now what is redemption? Redemption means to buy back something for someone that they lost, that they are incapable of buying back for themselves. This kinsman went to the debtors and paid all of the debts. He went to those that had the family in slavery and he purchased their freedom. He went back to the lands that they lost and bought them for them again, and he restored and redeemed that man to his original state. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from Satan and from sin. Some of you, this little statement in verse number 4, it means a lot, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. There's many, many people in this room that could say, Brother Jerry, I could turn back if I wanted to the pages of my life and I could read some chapters. And I had followed the way of the world, I'd followed the way of sin, and it led to my destruction. But when I got saved, Jesus Christ bought me back. Some of us in this room are saved out of sin. You young people, I'm talking about kids raised in Christian homes. I want you to listen to me. Some are saved from sin. Some are saved out of sin. Some are saved out of their sin. Some are saved from their sin. I think one of the greatest unanswered questions that any Christian could ask is this. Here's the question. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever pondered it? Where would I be right now if it were not for Jesus Christ? Have you pondered that? Where would my children be if it were not for Jesus Christ? Have you thought about that? Did you have a mom and dad like my testimony? Did you have a mom and dad that were unsaved and they received Christ, and because of that they brought you up in church and brought you up in the ways of the Lord? Have you ever thought what would happen? What would have happened to me? What would my life have been like if I'd never received Christ? You see, some folks were saved out of a life of sin, but many of us were saved from a life of sin. There may be a person in this room that could stand up today and say, Brother Jarrett, one time I was an alcoholic, but you know what? Christ saved me from that. But there's all kinds of young people, and you don't know it. But the honest truth is, you're going to find out when you get to heaven that your testimony is that you were not saved out of alcoholism. You were saved from alcoholism. And you know what? You ought to rejoice as much as the person that was saved out. Matter of fact, you ought to rejoice more, because you don't have to carry all them scars. Are you getting this? Brother Jerry, I was saved out of an indecent lifestyle. There's many of you that you don't realize it, and maybe you won't till you get to. I don't know if God will do this or not, but maybe one of the best things that could happen to those of us that were saved young and saved early and raised in a Christian home, maybe one of the best things that could happen to us is for God to just in heaven say, now let me just show you what your life would have been like if you had not have gotten saved. Maybe we'll finally get excited about redemption. Maybe we'll finally get excited about salvation. I don't want the people in the church that's the most excited about salvation be the ones that were saved out of sin. I think the ones that I'll be the most excited about salvation are the ones that are saved from sin. You don't have to have some kind of a horrible testimony to get excited about what God's done for you. What you got to have is an understanding that this matter of redemption, this buying of you and buying back and freeing you from slavery, sometimes it happens late, sometimes it happens early. Thank God if it happened early in your life. Thank God. Man, you ought to shout louder than the person who was saved from alcoholism, or saved out of alcoholism. You were saved from it. You don't have to worry about that. You ought to not, listen, we shouldn't shout the loudest when we hear the testimony of the person that was saved out of fornication. We ought to thank God that we were saved from it in the first place. He purchased you and saved you from your past. That's the testimony of many in this room. But think about this. Many of our testimony is this. He purchased us and saved us from our future. Now live like one of the redeemed. Live like one of the redeemed. Let me give you this last thought. So many benefits that this chapter teaches us about. We can't go through them all, but look at verse number 5. The benefit of provision. The benefit of provision, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, we don't just stop and say thank you to God for some of the simple things of life. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I can't tell you how many times this happens every week where I'm sitting down and eating a meal, a simple meal, and I'll just stop and say this. Man, this is good. Can I teach you something, young people? Slow down and taste your food. Slow down and taste it. Tell me you eat 1,000 miles an hour. You're like a vacuum cleaner. You know, mom sets a plate in front of you before she can sit down. It's gone. Chew it. Taste it. Enjoy it. I'll tell you this. I like to eat. Now, this is our last point, so I'm going to talk about food because you're going to be able to get to some in a short amount of time. The benefits of his provision. I like to eat. I do. Now, I don't eat a lot. Matter of fact, I eat probably less right now than I've ever eaten in my life. Me and Cheryl eat 2 meals a day on an average day. Now, I have 47 snacks in between. But we do. We're just, you know, your metabolism slows down. You don't eat as much. You don't eat as much. I get fuller quicker. So I don't eat as much, but I promise you this. I enjoy eating more than I ever have in my entire life. I like it. My wife makes the best spaghetti. I'm just going to testify for a while, amen? I don't need fancy stuff. You know, spaghetti. How many of you were raised on spaghetti? You know why? Because it was cheap. That's why you ate a lot of spaghetti. Man, isn't it good? When's the last time you had a plate of spaghetti? Last night? Someone say last night? When do we have spaghetti last? We need spaghetti. We need to have spaghetti this week. We got to stay home long enough to have spaghetti, amen? That's good stuff. You know, I like sometimes after service, just I just get some crackers, and I get some cheese, and I get some Philadelphia cream cheese. Then I get some venison sausage. Then I get always a big old giant pile of mild yellow peppers. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you take that plate and stick it on top of your head, your tongue will slap a hole all the way through your brain trying to get to it. So be careful where you put it. So, amen. Stick it. You mean just crackers? Yeah. And some cheese? Yeah. Philadelphia cream cheese on it. And you see, you start with a cracker, and then you put the Philadelphia cream cheese on it. Then you get the sharp cheddar, or the extra sharp's actually a little better. I mean, you want it so sharp it's nasty, and you put it on there. And then you take your venison sausage, and then you just take a whole pile of them mild peppers, and it's like you've got this little miniature sandwich. You just put the whole thing in your mouth. Hallelujah. Whew. And after you do that, you say to yourself, man, that's good. That is good. I like soup. Hey, don't you like things like steak? And well, yeah, every once in a while. But you know what, folks? Be thankful for simple things. Yeah, how many of you ever had? This is crazy because you grow up not liking some things. I'm testifying this morning. I'm just testifying. You grew up not liking something. No, I'll never like them, brother. Amen. That has nothing to do with maturity. That has everything to do with sin. Amen. So, peas. Somebody said peas up here. Amen. But when I was a kid, there's certain soups that just by the very name of them, you thought, okay, when you went down the aisle with your mom and you were a little kid in Campbell's soup aisle, I mean, when you're a kid, you don't look at clam chowder and say, hey, let's get some clam chowder, you know. The whole thought of clam chowder, just, I had this thing in my mind, you know, and I went out to see Paul and Sarah, and they took us to it. Listen, anytime you're within about 50, 60 miles of an ocean, go and eat seafood. I don't want anybody mad. I know we had a couple. Sister Patty, I know, works as... But it's sad that people in Indiana think seafood is Long John Silver. Is that right? So he takes me to this seafood place. And he said, now, for an appetizer, you have to, this place is like famous, you have to get a bowl of New England clam chowder. And I'm thinking, oh. And that was my first thought was, oh. So I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, go ahead and order me some. And I'm thinking, hopefully they'll go to the restroom and I'll dump this thing or something like that. But then they brought this fresh bread with it. And so I'm kind of looking at this stuff, and it's got all these little pieces of strange-looking meat and potatoes and celery, and I don't even know what some of that stuff is. And I took a bite of that. Hallelujah. Have you ever had clam chowder? You ever had New England clam chowder? Yes. You ever had clam chowder? Any of you girls ever have clam chowder? Have you had? Is it good? Isn't it good? It's good. Okay, this is your assignment. This week, you go to the store. I don't know, though. I don't think Campbell's. It's not going to be the same, is it? Never mind. This is your assignment. Sometime in your life, get within 50 miles of an ocean. Go to a seafood place. Not Long John Silver. A real seafood place. Get a big bowl of clam chowder, some fresh bread. And then what's great is you kind of eat all of the good stuff out of it, and it's pretty. Then you just take that bread and you start a sopping it, man. And you take a bite of it, and I promise you, you're going to say, man, this is good. Anybody hungry? You ready to go home? You know, folks, can I say this? God, every day of our life, provides us with good things. And so few times do we say, thank you, God, for just caring for us again today. For just caring for us today. Hey, you know what? There are great benefits that come with being a Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you take this message, Lord, and speak to our hearts with it. Thank you for your goodness, your grace to us, Lord. Thank you for your generosity to us. And I would pray, Lord, that you would help us to just spend some time this morning counting our blessings. Lord, thank you for all of the things that come with salvation. Not just thank you for saving us, but thank you for all of the benefits that come with the Christian life. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that's never benefited from the forgiveness and the eternal healing, the promise of eternal healing, the redemption, the provision that comes with just being a child of God. It's just wonderful to know that each and every day of our life we have a Heavenly Father that's promised to take care of His children. There's someone here without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I know how deceptive Satan is, and I know how sin, the Bible says, has its pleasures for a season, and I certainly understand that some folks might get caught up in all of the things of the world and think that, well, they really have the real deal. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that perhaps now, maybe they've come to a point in time in their life where the toll for that sin is coming due and the repercussions of those decisions are beginning to play out in their life. And I would pray, God, that you would bring that person here today in our midst that's never been saved, that you would bring them to yourself this morning. Help them to understand there's a better way. That there is a God who offers full forgiveness, guilt-free full forgiveness, full redemption. And then as a loving Heavenly Father, He takes it upon Himself to be personally responsible for our care. Use this message, Lord, in the lives of your children to encourage them. We pray in Jesus' name.